and Answers begins right now.
You are tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukeran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. If homosexuality is a sin, why would God make some people gay? Why did God order the genocide of the Canaanites and other people groups? Isn't God guilty of racism? At a recent students' conference, these were some of the tough questions students asked. The last time we were together, Pat and his co-host, Keith Boychuk, discussed many of these questions. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this discussion entitled Teens Ask Tough Questions, and find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now, let's get right to the conclusion.
Remember, God is infinite in all of his character quality, wisdom, omnipotence, but his patience is not. And eventually, he has to judge sin. And that's why after centuries, God used Israel to judge these wicked Canaanite nations that were no longer redeemable. And one of the reasons he tells the Israelites you need to wipe them out is because what happens to a culture, a less civilized culture, when they come in and capture or conquer a more civilized culture? Mm-hmm. Well, they end up adopting the practices of the more advanced culture. So imagine the Israelites, they're slaves in Egypt, and they're wandering in the desert for 40 years living in tents, and they come to the land of Canaan. Beautiful land, flowing milk and honey. And they see these beautiful houses, beautiful cities, beautiful temples over there. What is the temptation? Hey, I got a house. You know, we got government structures here. We got farm. Hey, let's just move in and slide on in here. I don't have to do any more building. What happens? Eventually, you adopt the culture, you conquer. And God didn't want that. And so that's why God says you got to wipe them out. You got to wipe them out. We don't want this creeping in to the nation of Israel. And we see what happens when the Israelites didn't, right? We see they ended up in idolatry, in child, you know, even King Solomon there says offered his children on the altar to Molech and things. So temple prostitution, child sacrifice, all of that crept into the nation of Israel. That's why God said, you got to wipe them out and burn these cities to the ground here. So God was long and patient, looking for the Canaanites to repent. They didn't. They were beyond redemption already. And so we had to wipe out those civilizations. It's kind of like this, Keith. Imagine if I was the sheriff of Honolulu, you know, or the police chief. And right across the street from the studio here, as we're looking, is a place where they're doing child trafficking, drugs, prostitution, child sacrifice, and things. And you come to me and say, hey, police chief, do you know what's going on over there? And I said, yeah. And you said, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, nothing. Nothing. You know, you would have me fired in a minute. Why? That's not just. That's not loving. You got to put that stuff to an end. Well, this has been going on for centuries in the land of Canaan. What is a holy, loving, just God to do? Just turn his head the other way? No. Like I said, you know, God's patience is not infinite. There comes a time where he has to bring idolatry and all this wickedness to an end in his judgment. And so he's not racist, because remember, when Israel was involved in that, he called for their repentance for centuries. And when they didn't, he judged his own people, you know, sent them into exile in Syria and in Babylon. And so, you know, he even judged his own people. So God is fair and consistent in judging all people eventually that who go against his law repeatedly.
Yeah, that's an interesting analogy you put there. It kind of puts things into perspective. Another question, and like I said, the questions get a little bit more, I don't want to say relevant to our times, but definitely a little bit more forefront. The next question says, if homosexuality is a sin, why would God make some people gay?
That's a, you know, hot topic here, and we want to, this is a real struggle. I don't want to make light of it and just give any kind of simple answer because, yeah, it is a real struggle for many men and women who struggle with this issue. But there really is no proof that we are born gay. The Bailey-Pillard twin study didn't conclusively prove that it's genetic. The Simon LaVey, in his brain studies, you know, didn't prove that it's genetic. So really, there really is no proof that we are born gay. And the fact that you and I, we're Asian, and nothing will change that. We're born that way, okay? Nothing can change. But we have thousands of ex-gays. I can never be ex-Asian. You know, I'll always be Asian. But the fact that there's thousands who have changed their sexuality is another argument that we are born this way. We can't help it. We can never change. This is in our genetic or in our DNA. That's never been proven. Now, having said that, are there people who struggle with this issue? Absolutely. Could it be? Maybe it's genetic or maybe it could be. But even if it was, even if somehow you could prove it, does that mean then it's an acceptable lifestyle? You know, I would say no. We know that there are children born addicted to cocaine, right? Their mothers were addicted and they come out cocaine babies. And what do we say? Here, have all the cocaine you want. You're born that way. You know, you can't help it. No, we do everything we can to move them towards a more healthy lifestyle. There are people, I'm Okinawan. You know, Okinawans are known to be kind of hot-blooded. You know, so if I beat my wife, is that okay? You know, because, hey, you can't help it. No, we do everything we can to try and get you to a more healthy, you know, restore the image of God in you, as a good Christian counselor will do, and try to get you, you know, to a more healthy situation. Same thing in with those who struggle with homosexuality. It's a very dangerous lifestyle. If you listen to my interviews with ex-gays, if you listen to our show on homosexuality, I mean, the Center for Disease Control, the medical studies show that the gay lifestyle, there's a very high promiscuity rate. The physical body is not meant for homosexual activity. That's why the mortality rate in the gay community is very high. I mean, the average lifespan, I think, is into the mid-40s. And it's a very dangerous lifestyle. So what do we do? Well, the most loving thing to do is to restore that image of God that's in you, to move you more from a dangerous lifestyle and a false ideology to truth. Because it's the truth that will set you free and move you more towards God's standards. So God states clearly, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, and others, that homosexuality, you know, goes against his design. It is sin. It's very dangerous, not only individually, medically, physically, but also for an entire culture. And so we want to move people more towards God's standard and God's law. And so, yeah, this whole argument, God made me this way, there's really no proof of that. And even if it was true, that's just part of the fall. We're living in a fallen world, and we move you more from an unhealthy, dangerous lifestyle to God's design, which is what we were designed for. And that'll bring you much more health and peace and joy that God wanted you to have.
Yeah, you know, that's something that I kind of wonder too, like, is there kind of, you spoke on it, is there, I've heard it, the term being thrown out there, is there a gay gene, right? And as you kind of mentioned, there hasn't found anything in particular. Whether you are born with high testosterone, higher estrogen, there are medical conditions and mutations that do cause the human body to have that, but nothing definitive that says, okay, well, this is the gay gene and now this is the choice. And kind of prying a little bit more with the question is, I have a friend who works in the food industry. He's in management, and, you know, we talk about these things. He's not necessarily a practicing Christian, but he, you know, he professes his faith. And I ask him, you know, when you work with individuals, you know, of all form, and he, in his position, he says he's getting a lot more individuals that are identifying and transitioning. And I ask him, you know, how do you approach that? You know, how do you approach that? And then something that he just kind of said to me that just took me back, he said, what I do, the best way I deal with it, I listen. You just listen. And you know, I'm not saying this is all of it, but in his circumstance, he says when he listens, he hears the hurt and he hears the scaredness that the individuals have. And, you know, that just kind of, it just reminds me the human aspect of it. You know, aside from the biblical, that we are all individuals, whether it's alcoholism or any other form of addiction, it's the listening aspect that most people are craving for. And so, you know, I'm not too sure on how much that would speak on the topic of, you know, why would God make some people gay? But I think there is an aspect of that. I think individuals, whether whatever condition it is, there is an aspect of listening that's required.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, Keith. You know, in a lot of those who enter into the gay community, I'm not saying every single person, but there's a high incidence where they were raped or molested, you know, as a young child. And to listen with that, with compassion. And like you said, you know, if you have the opportunity to build relationships and listen to their story, these are hurting people. And you bring up the point there, these are hurting people. And if you can listen to their story, you win the right to be heard. So when, you know, there is an opportunity for you to present the truth and help move them in a right direction, you've won that right by listening and loving on them. When we interview a lot of ex-gays, that's what they say. They said, I wasn't judged. People listened to me, shared the love of Christ with me, and made me much more open then to the gospel and the truth, even the tough truth that eventually I had to face. So, yeah, you bring up a great point. You know, I remember talking to a young man, and he was molested as a young boy by his uncle, who claimed to be a believer in Jesus. And that's why he hated Christianity. And I looked at him and I said, I'd hate Christianity too, you know, if that happened to me. And I just kind of left it at that. And that's when he kind of caught interest. And he said, well, then he started asking questions about Christianity. I didn't push it. I just said, man, that's terrible. You know, and we ended. I said, what your uncle did has nothing to do with Jesus or what Christ taught. Goes everything against what Jesus in the Bible is all about. I said, I hope you'll give Jesus an opportunity. Don't measure Christianity by the failure of its followers, but by the man himself, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, you bring up a fantastic point there in this engaging those, not only in homosexuality, but in different worldviews, those who oppose Christianity. Yeah, sometimes we need to take time to listen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the culture that we're in. And I know you have an upcoming conference speaking actually exactly on that. So we'll hopefully touch a little bit more on that conference coming up at the end of the show. But, you know, just to kind of switch gears, I wanted to ask maybe a not so heavy question. I was just thinking for myself, I was just talking to my wife about, you know, what are some hard questions to ask and stuff. And if you want to have a thought-provoking question, ask your wife.
Yeah.
You'll get a good one. So one thing that she kind of asked me was kind of related to the same question that's over here. How do you know God is blessing you and that you didn't just get lucky? I mean, as Christians, it's easy. I mean, at least for me, I don't believe in luck. But how do you differentiate, right, the difference between God's blessing and maybe what could be coincidences?
Yeah, you know, like you, I don't believe in luck or coincidences. I think everything happens by the sovereign hand of God, and just anything good to me is a blessing from the Lord. But I think this question he was asking, you know, specifically here, how do you know it's God's providence at work in your life and not just, you know, luck or, you know, being in the right place at the right time? I think the best way to know is, number one, if it's in accords with God's will, and that is fulfilling a biblical command or truth, if it's in accord with the truth of his word. Second of all, you know, if you've been in prayer about it and God answers your prayers, you know, I think that's a clear sign it's not luck, it's God's providence in on your life. And I think, you know, for me, the third is just looking at the fruit. What does it produce, not only at that moment, but down the road? What kind of fruit is it producing that continue to advance God's kingdom, continuing to bring people to Christ? Is it continuing to bless others and advance the gospel? Then I think, yeah, God's hand of blessing is upon you and things. So that's the best way to know if it's fulfilling according to his will and his truth and advancing his kingdom, and you're praying about it and God. That's why it's so good to keep a spiritual journal, you know, things you pray about, and when God answers, then you know, man, I'm moving in the right direction. He's blessing my efforts. He's blessing the things that we want to do for Christ. So that's the way I know it's not just kind of luck or coincidence. Really, it's God's hand directing and guiding us.
Have you ever had an incident where you felt like, you know what, you were following God's plan and, you know, things were opening up, and then whatever reason, it just like, wait a minute, everything fell apart, or things just turned sour, and you're like, I thought I was going in the right direction. I thought this was God's plan. Have you had, I mean, because I'm sure for myself, I've had incidences where I'm like, oh, you know, I think this is where God's leading me. This is where God's leading me. And then the door closes. And then I'm like, well, what am I doing?
Yeah. Many of those. And it's surprising how God directs you, maybe in a direction you had absolutely no plan that you were going to. My encouragement is God does not steer a parked car. As long as it's moving, he can close the door and show you the next open door. Close that door and show you the next open door. So to me, I said, you know, if God has placed something on your heart, or if you think this is what God wants, go for it. And if he doesn't want you there, he's going to close the door and redirect you. Ending up here in this ministry of apologetics, I mean, I never thought I'd be in this arena. I thought I was going to be a youth pastor forever, or an associate pastor. And so I was, you know, pastor for 10 years, and suddenly, not by my choice, I had to step down from the pastorate. And I was part-time doing this kind of apologetics ministry, but it kind of just exploded on it. And suddenly I'm speaking all over the place, and the pastor was getting really upset. He's saying, you want to go do this apologetics, and you want to be a pastor, you know? You're going to be a pastor. You better stay here in town and be at this church week in, week out. And I said, can I do both? And he said, no, you know, which I thought was a little unfair. But nevertheless, I said, okay. So I went into this apologetics, and I said, I'm just going to do it for a few years and go back into the pastorate or something. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are, you know, 30 years later, still doing it. So God took me in a direction I didn't expect. And he's really blessed our efforts and all that we're doing. But there, you know, there's an example that I thought, this is the direction God wants me in the pastorate. This is, you know, where he wants me. And boom, shifted mm-hmm. me in another arena. So, but the main thing is, you know, I would encourage Christians out there, keep the car going. Go for it. If God doesn't want you there, he'll close the door and you have something else. But as if you remain parked and you're scared and you don't want to do anything, well, you know, he can't really steer a parked car kind of thing. So
I like that. I'm going to put that on a bumper sticker. That's a good one. So, you know, we're getting close to the end over here. And so I wanted to kind of speak a little bit about the upcoming conference that you do have coming up quickly. This is called the American Cultural Revolution and the Christian Response. Can you speak a little bit on it, about this conference?
Yeah, Keith, the America we know today is different from the America of our grandparents, or even of my parents, or being that I'm older than you, from when I was a child. America has really changed. And as America departs from the founding principles that made her great, the Christian influence on America cannot be denied. I don't know how you can study American history. I know they've rewritten the books to make it more of a socialist kind of history. But I mean, just go there and go walk around D.C., you know, go walk around the mall and the monuments, the Supreme Court, the halls of Congress. I mean, the biblical verses are everywhere. Go read our founding documents, from the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. The connection and the influence of Christianity really cannot be denied. And so as America departs from the principles that made her great, she's embracing some very dangerous ideas. And as we continue to depart farther from God and the moral law of God, America is changing very quickly. And so we're in a cultural revolution. And, you know, what's happening is this. A football game, all the players on the field acknowledge there's one rule book, and we follow those rules. Now imagine if all 22 players on the field said, no, we have our own rule book. I'm going to play by my rules. You'd have absolute chaos there on the football field. Now, when America at its founding, we had one playbook. We said we believe in a God, a creator, is how he's termed, a creator, and he has a law called natural law. And when we all agree, okay, on God and the natural law of God, we're all pretty much on the same page, okay? Once we remove God, then how do we determine right from wrong? If there is no universal moral law that's above us that we all agree upon, how do we determine right from wrong? Well, each group will determine what's right and wrong. And then how do we determine what's right, you know, the playbook for the entire country? Well, we end up in tribal warfare, right? Mm-hmm. Each group will be combating each other group. And it ends up, once you remove God from the picture and God's moral law, how do you determine right from wrong? Might makes right. Whoever is going to win the war gets to dictate the rules. And you end up in tribal warfare within a nation. And they end up, you know, battling ourselves. And that's how a nation falls apart. And you study world history, that's how it happens. Okay, that's how empires fall. They collapse from within. They're rarely conquered. They collapse from within first. And I think Oz Guinness has a great book on that. You can listen to our interview with him. It's called A Free People's Suicide. That's a good one. He wrote a recent book we did an interview on called The Magna Carta, saying there's two revolutions that changed the world. The American Revolution, which was a biblically based revolution that has brought more freedom to the world than we've ever seen. And then you have the French Revolution that was built on humanistic ideas. And that has brought the most tyranny and bondage that we have seen, because the French Revolution is what gave seed to the Marxist Revolution in Russia and in China and Cambodia, Pol Pot, and has brought more tyranny and oppression than we've ever seen. And Oz Guinness, in his book Magna Carta, makes a great point. He said America is headed towards another revolution, and it is not the American Revolution. It looks like the French Revolution. See, the American Revolution, we pointed to nature's God and said we have a biblical, we have just grounds for our war built on what? Creator, creation, and God-given moral absolutes, right? We are created and designed by our Creator. Well, when it came to the Civil War and the end of slavery, what were they pointing to? God's law and the Declaration of Independence. We are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. Among these, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Creator, creation, God's given more. They were pointing. It was a biblically just revolution there. When it came to the civil rights movement, you read the speeches of Martin Luther King. He was pointing to the Bible. I mean, that guy was quoting the Bible profusely. And our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence. He kept quoting those two. Look at what's going on now. Critical theory, Black Lives Matter, these kinds of movements going on. They're not pointing to the Bible. They're not pointing to our founding documents. They're pointing to something else. And that's where Oz Guinness is. We ought to be concerned here because it looks like we're moving more towards the French Revolution. And so how do we respond as believers in Christ in the midst of this cultural revolution will be absolutely critical. Can we have a, quote, kind of revolution like the civil rights movement or the civil war to reform ourselves and get us back to a more biblical standard, or are we going to go in the other direction? Where this generation's at a very critical moment in the history of the United States. You know, Oz Guinness said this is the crunch generation. If we answer the questions right, Western civilization will survive. If we do not, this generation will see the end of Western civilization. And so it's a very critical moment. And so the conference, the American Cultural Revolution and the Christian Response, I think is a very important and critical conference. And if you don't get to go, I hope you get to listen to the seminars that were given at this conference. I think they're going to be very valuable.
Well, these have been the tough questions, you know, that college students have been asking. And also, you know, just tough questions in this day and age. It is so great to see people and Christians thinking and asking about questions about the Bible. And, you know, if you want more information or if you want to hear more of the podcasts or the radio show, go to evidenceandanswers.org. That is evidenceandanswers.org. Or if you have a tough question that you want to ask Dr. Pat, please feel free to email us there. And we would love to use those questions in the next radio show. Anything else you want to add, Pat?
Yeah, you know, we love these questions, especially ones I can't answer, because it forces me to study and learn more. You know, it's a real motivational tool. So give us your questions. But also, if you're at our conference, Q&A is one of the funnest parts of our conference. And so we'll take those questions and use them here on future radio shows. Man, we had a ton here. We didn't get to all of them. So guess what? We'll probably do another series of tough questions again with myself and Keith here in a future show in Evidence and Answers.
Wow. Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586, or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.